Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Federal Reserve, led by Jerome Powell, a decision in early May to raise the interest rates charged to the best customers a quarter of a point, the 10th consecutive raise of interest rates since the Federal Reserve began this adventure in the spring of 2022. It is now somewhere between 5 and 5.25%. The markets and the politicians pay attention because we're moving into an election cycle, and the state of the economy is vital to any politician. Americans vote their pocketbooks. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, Liz Peake, the columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, because we anticipated the quarter point. There it is. But then in comments afterwards by the Federal Reserve chairman, by members of the board, and other commentators, the word pause is introduced. What does the word pause mean? Liz, a good evening to you. Pause. Is it a pause because the Federal Reserve right now is watching the data? Is it a pause because the banking crisis has alarmed a lot of people, although it's here today, gone tomorrow? Why pause? Why now? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you actually mentioned the biggest reason, which is that the Fed has hiked rates 10 times at an extraordinary rate. I mean, I think people are unaware maybe of the unusual nature of the ascent of rates. That is to say, from where we went near zero to 5, 5.25 is almost unprecedented, and it has had some pretty severe repercussions. Obviously, the most severe repercussion is that we've had three major banks fail because that increase in rates drove down the value of assets on those banks' balance sheets. And also, banks were slow to respond to the increase in rates by hiking their deposit terms. And so they lost deposits hand over fist. But what's really remarkable and totally unprecedented is that the Fed has never before hiked interest rates in the midst of a financial shock. And you can call three major bank failures a financial shock. So they've never done this before. Always before, there has never been a rate tightening cycle without some sort of calamity, without a long-term capital management failure or some other expression of market instability. Always the Fed has then backed off. So raising rates this time around was an unusual decision. I think driven by the fact that inflation has simply not gotten anywhere close to the Fed's oft-repeated goal of 2%. They still are talking 2% inflation as their ambition, and inflation, let's face it, is still around 5%. So the Fed has a problem. I think when we're talking pause, the reason they mentioned that is, again, I think people are worried about further damaging the banks and their balance sheets. And also, there's a big unknown right now, which is in the midst of this uncertain time when CEO confidence has gone through the floor and consumer confidence is wobbly and so forth, and we've had banks failing, what impact does credit tightening have on the economy? They don't know. What we do know is that without a doubt, banks have tightened their lending standards. This actually began to happen. I began to hear about this late last year, that all of a sudden, particularly in commercial real estate, people wanting to build a project, even in Florida, were being told, no dice, we're not issuing any new loans for that kind of project. I'm sure it's become much more widespread now. And the Federal Reserve really has no way of measuring how influential that private reaction to the wobbliness in the economy might have on the growth of the economy. I mean, so when Fed Chair Jay Powell is talking about the possibility of a recession and he hopes it's a mild one, it's not just because the Federal Reserve's been increasing rates. It's also very much because private banking sector has also made it harder to get a loan. So, you know, there's a lot of turbulence right now in financial markets. And I think the Fed is trying to sort of manage that turbulence without adding to it. And frankly, they've only been moderately successful because, you know, I think a lot of us have criticized the Fed for not getting on the inflation issue earlier, not beginning to raise rates earlier, like in mid-2021 or late 2021, waiting a full 6 months, I would say, after they should have begun that, and therefore having to slam on the brakes harder than maybe was healthy for the economy. So that the pause is really, I think, just an acknowledgement that they don't know how slow the economy is. Now, you know, so far, John, we've been talking recession, as have others, for 6 months or more. Hasn't happened. Right. The economy is certainly showing some signs of weakness. Consumer spending, you know, credit card data is down, spending's down, housing's down, manufacturing is down. But so far, the economy is still advancing. And so I think all of those reasons mean the Fed wants to take a wait and see. And most people think that'll happen.
There are doubts about Jerome Powell's leadership, have been in place for a year. Perhaps that's inevitable. It's a job that you can only fail in until long afterwards when, oh, you know, he didn't do such a bad job after all. So what we have now is the public doubting Jerome Powell, but I don't think it's meant to be ad hominem. I think it's doubts about what you just expressed. The recession is here, but it's not. Growth is gone, but it's not. Jobs are failing, but they're not. 250,000 or more jobs added in the most recent report. Liz, you have to be a very fussy person to call out a weak jobs report. And heretofore, my understanding was the Federal Reserve was watching jobs to signal to it how it was doing. So I'm guessing that they don't have any idea how the jobs market is doing because it's too strong. It's too strong for all their hikes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Powell is extremely frustrated because the Fed, of course, has a dual mandate, maintain full-ish employment and also control inflation. So the employment part's doing very well, but actually Powell wants to see that job market weaken. He's talked about that. I think they'd like to see unemployment go up to around 4.5% or thereabouts, which would take pressure off wages. Because what we've seen, and again, I mean, how inevitable is this? When you have inflation, every employee comes to you and says, hey, I need a raise because the price of bread has gone up, the price of my car has gone up, et cetera, et cetera. So you do have this wage price spiral. And I think people are concerned, especially right now, that that is continuing to drive inflation. We get a CPI, Consumer Price Index report out tomorrow, and that'll perhaps inform markets as to which way this is going to go. But no one's really looking for a major breakthrough here. There's no sign that across the country, you know, the layoffs in tech and in finance and other industries are causing any weakness in wages. We haven't seen that. So, you know, I think honestly, the Fed is going to try to pause for 1 month and see whether the economy is slowing on its own. If not, we could well see further rate hikes. And that's why the market has been skittish.
The debt level. This is a story we've dealt with over the years, different presidencies, different members of the Congress, different balance between the parties. And here it is again. The word catastrophe seems to be the word of the day. If you can spell it, you're supposed to say it if you're on one side of the story. The other side of the story uses the word responsible. So what we have here is another version of the contest between the two parties. And the American people are watching. I guess they're involved, Liz. I can't entirely tell because it's very difficult to explain why it is that the U.S. is at risk again. We do this routinely. Right now, your measure of this, is this about the presidential cycle in 2024? Is it about something before that, some sense of who's in charge in Washington? What is it that they want, both sides want to achieve after this dispute is settled?
Well, let's consider first the economics, then the politics. The economics are we have got to rein in spending. Spending is way above historical averages relative to GDP. It ballooned during the COVID crisis, way above trend line. Republicans in Congress are saying now we have to get back to that trend line. Is it comfortable? No. Is it necessary? Yes, because the only other approach to getting our deficits under control is to raise taxes substantially, and that's going to slow growth. So the Republicans put forward a plan, which, you know, Committee for the Responsible Federal Budget said, yeah, it's a good plan. I think it is a good plan. A lot of things that are very common sense about it. And the president dismissed it out of hand. I think the Republicans felt that was their beginning negotiating point. The president hasn't negotiated. He hasn't been in touch with Speaker McCarthy since February. 100 days have passed. Now, McCarthy didn't have the plan out there 100 days ago. That's only been in the last like 3 weeks. But nonetheless, the president has sort of acted like it's beneath him to negotiate. Well, guess what? It's not. And frankly, given how horrendous the polling is for Joe Biden right now, and how skeptical Americans are of his capacity to do the job. And that's a very worrisome thing, just not just politically for Joe Biden, but for the country. Are we really going to elect a man that most of the country doesn't think capable of doing the job of president? I think it would behoove the president right now to come out and negotiate, get a deal done, because that would show not just that he actually cares about the financials of the country and the soundness of the dollar and so forth. It would also show he can do the job. So there's a lot riding on this negotiation. It's being, of course, overblown by the media. I don't think we'll have a catastrophic debt failure because the Treasury can continue to fund our obligations for some time past that June 1 date. But this has to be resolved. And it's frankly, Kevin McCarthy doesn't have any choice. He has got to be tough on this. His caucus demands it.
Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, much on Fox Business, also writes for Fox News. We're going to turn to the politics that Liz is pointing to, because there's a new poll that shows that the president, despite this strong jobs market, despite the fact that the recession hasn't shown up, is a person who's not enjoying trust of the American people in terms of approval. Why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bass.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get your project started right with our huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, from installing a walkway to setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.